You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada. Hello and welcome to CICK News for Thursday, April 11th. Today, I'm speaking with Erica Owens and Carol Sajek from the Northern Society of Domestic Peace about the programs and awareness campaigns happening this month, as April is Sexual Assault and Sexual Violence Awareness Month. To begin today's broadcast, I want to share some of the questions from a very important survey that the Northern Society of Domestic Peace currently has out in order to gauge the range of experiences that people in the North have to report on sexual violence. I just wanted to read through some of the survey here. There's a warning that the survey may feel triggering for some victims or survivors of sexual assault. And if you are experiencing anxiety, memories, or general upset around this survey or this topic, please reach out to them anytime. In addition to supports and services offered by NSDP and the ESAS team, you can find a list of other supports and resources at domesticpeace.ca/SAS/. And in that page, or even if you're on the main page and you click on SAS, click on that page. And then once you scroll down, there's a link to this survey, which I would like to go a little more into detail with now. So the survey that they have live right now, they want you to know your age range currently, where you live, and it's a list of our kind of localish towns, Smithers, Houston, Hazleton, Telco, Whitsett, or somewhere else in BC. How many times have you experienced sexual assault? If you were assaulted multiple times by the same person, over how long of a period did the assaults take place? When did you experience the assaults? Did you know the perpetrator or perpetrators? If yes, if you'd like to clarify your connection, if it was related to any situations such as voluntary substance use or intoxication, involuntary intoxication, a date, a part of your social gathering, sex work, lack of transportation such as hitchhiking, a lack of money, a person in a position of authority or control, or none of the above. Did you share or disclose the assault to anyone? And it's a list of people that you could tell. Did you report the assault? And there's a list of places you can say the RCMP or police, legal, lawyer, victim services, third party report, hospital, doctor, other community services, organizations, employer, HR department, or none. Did you access medical services as a result of the assault? And the list goes on. As someone who reports on a myriad of stories and speaks to so many people, sexual assault and violence is something that really is not spoken about unless we are speaking to community groups who are doing this work specifically. And so I do want to share today's interview with Erica Owens and Carol Sajek from the Northern Society of Domestic Peace with a trigger warning. We do mention sexual assault, but most of the conversation is about the resources that are available and some of the protocols and steps. But seeing as April is Sexual Violence Awareness Month, it is a good time for not only people who have experienced it, but you good people in the community who are listening to this radio station to go to the website, domesticpeace.ca, and read some of the resources. Because when a friend comes to you in need, or a family member comes to you in need, you might not know what steps to take. And that's where the Northern Society of Domestic Peace steps in. The Hazleton Services 24-hour shelter called Cedar Rose Transition House, the phone number for that, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the phone number for Seven Sisters is 778-641-4445. And you can email them at sevensisters@nsdp.ca.
My name is Erica Owen. I work for Northern Society for Domestic Peace.
So can you tell me what campaigns the NSDP is focusing on regarding Sexual Assault Awareness Month?
So Northern Society for Domestic Peace wants to recognize Sexual Assault Awareness Month by bringing awareness and conducting advocacy in our community around sexual violence, especially against women and girls and others. We want to highlight that we have a lot of great services in our communities for people who have experienced sexual violence. We run a sexual assault services program based in three communities. So we have one that runs for Smithers in Houston and another one that's an Indigenous focused program that runs in Hazleton and the surrounding Indigenous communities out there. And these are really great resources for anybody 15 and over who have experienced any form of sexual violence. Additionally, we have sexual abuse intervention program counseling and services for a younger clientele.
What are the programs that do exist for younger people? You talked about that delineation between 15.
NSDP has two programs for children and youth who have experienced or witnessed violence. The sexual abuse intervention program is specifically tailored for either children who have experienced sexual abuse or witnessed it or been exposed to it in some way. And then we have a more general program, which is called the Children's Peace Program, which provides counseling services for children who have maybe witnessed or experienced domestic violence in the home. It also covers kids who might be experiencing a variety of other things. So maybe bullying in schools or things like that.
And now, have you listed all of the programs from Northern Society of Domestic Peace, or are there others that exist for sexual violence?
So those are primarily the two that focus on sexual violence, mm-hmm. although we have multiple workers who work in outreach positions in the community. Mm-hmm. So they may be working with people who sexual violence is a factor or a piece of what they're going through. So a lot of our staff are really experienced in that. We've got multiple housing projects too and shelter housing. So staff there are really well informed and trained and trauma-informed in supporting victims where sexual violence has been a piece of the puzzle. But in terms of programs that specifically are geared directly to sexual violence, we have two.
So I'm not sure if this is a question for you, Erica, or for you, Carol, but can you describe what a third-party report is?
Sure. So a third-party report is a really great option for people who have experienced sexual violence and want to report to the RCMP, but they're not ready to come forward and do it in a way that uses like their name and their identity. And there's all kinds of reasons why you might not want to do that. A third-party report is made through a victim services worker. We have one that works at Northern Society for Domestic Peace here in Smithers. There's a victim services worker in Houston. There's another one in Hazleton. And they work with you to get your story in your own way. You can literally go home and write your story out at home where you feel comfortable. You can take as much time as you want, have a cup of tea, whatever you need to do to get that story out on paper. Mm-hmm. And then the victim services worker will package that all up for you and submit it to the RCMP detachment or the police detachment closest to where the sexual assault or whatever occurred. And it's all submitted without any identifying information. It's important to understand that this isn't going to result in charges being pressed. So because it's an anonymous report, there's only so much that police or whoever can do with that information. So it's not a way to get justice in the sense of if you're hoping to have charges pressed and do the court system thing. You have to be able to come forward in order to do that. But if you're not ready to do that, this is a really great way to share information with RCMP and police. Just give them a kind of tip and some information that they can use to sometimes they keep an eye on a person, or in bigger cities or something, they might look for a certain vehicle or step up patrols in a certain area or just like increase like awareness on a situation. Mm-hmm. It's also a great way to share your personal story and speak to your personal experience in a way that protects your identity and potentially leave behind some of that testimony for a future victim. Mm-hmm. So again, while there won't be any charges, the person won't get in quote unquote trouble. If somebody else comes forward later and is coming forward with pressing charges or something, again, police can look and see. We don't know for sure, but this person's name has come up in the past as being predatory or problematic in some way. So it's a nice way to leave a bit of validation behind for the next person. And there's no statute of limitations on moving forward with charges and things for sexual assault. So it's also something that you can leave behind potentially for your future self if later you decide you want to come forward.
Yeah. Or someone else, as you mentioned as well, right?
I think as along with collecting the story, they will also collect evidence so that there is some concrete information there should they go forward at some point. But any kind of evidence that might help with future direction and charges.
Yeah. And I guess too, that I wonder if this is maybe the way that different communities, the RCMP would deal with it, but is it like a wellness check or something done on the person who the story was written about, or maybe not a wellness check, but Is there contact typically, or is that just...
Yeah. Okay. No, but the victim service person would probably be that person.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a way that really just protects the person who's written the report as much as possible.
Time to make a decision on what they want to do, which I think is really important, because often it's a really confusing, you're in crisis, you've just experienced trauma. It's pretty hard to make some of those decisions. But if you wait too long with evidence and or your story, then it's harder. Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people know about this option, or is that something that you feel like is not an option that people know when they come for help?
I think certainly if they go to the sexual assault services, then they get that information. But I think it's information that just has to be repeated. It's often people don't do anything until they've experienced something, and they don't know what exists until they've experienced something or a friend experiences something. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good information for everyone to have in case they have a friend that they can talk to them and share that.
I don't think that everybody is super familiar with the idea of a third-party report, unfortunately. It's also not something that's available across Canada. So in some provinces, they have it, and in some provinces, they don't. For example, Alberta, as far as I know, still doesn't have third-party reporting. So it's a really great option that we have here available in BC. But I think it's important to take advocacy campaigns such as Sexual Assault Awareness Month as an opportunity to highlight these resources that people might not know about, because they're not super familiar with them. I think a lot of people maybe hear third party report and think that it's maybe telling somebody and having that somebody tell somebody else or tell on your behalf. And it is that, but it's an anonymous reporting system that's done through specific victim service workers, which is a really great sort of partnership with police and RCMP, and a great option for people who don't want to come forward. So this is the perfect time to get information about that out there and let people know that is a choice that they can make if they're not ready to come forward.
You've mentioned it a couple times, but how important is it to hear stories of experience? Where does that fit in? And is that part of this campaign at all, of having like shared stories or anonymous testimonials? Is that a part of it at all?
I think so. I think Carol can probably speak to that in more depth than I can, but we do a lot of education and training as well too. We've conducted surveys in the past that we've run that have really helped us in our outreach services, because we have those voices, those testimonials. So even if we think back to the Me Too movement, even if you don't have somebody's identity and you don't know who the victim is, having that collective voice and experience can really empower future victims. I see that even with younger survivors who come forward and are accessing our services, that it's really empowering for them to understand that in sharing their stories, they're essentially like lending a voice to those who can't come forward or don't feel comfortable speaking out, and maybe giving them like the feeling like it's going to be okay, or I can do this. Mm-hmm. So for women especially, to be able to collectively come together and say, this happens, it happens regularly, it happens often, we're experiencing this, I think really empowers people who haven't been able to come forward.
I think a really good example is the Me Too movement. I think that made a significant difference in people hearing stories and people feeling comfortable coming forward. And it gives us opportunity to look at training. It gives us opportunity to look at what services are necessary. It gives us opportunity to change policy.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the invisible ways that sexual violence affects a community, such as Smithers, Houston, or Hazleton?
There's so many ways that sexual violence and domestic violence can impact communities and change our sort of group culture and our group experience. We can see it play out in schools with the way children behave and the way things come out or are presented in schools with kids who are experiencing things at home. Same thing with hospitals and our medical system. People experience all kinds of physical symptoms as a response to trauma, and so many emotional symptoms as a response to trauma, and that adds an additional cost in the medical system in terms of people needing medications, needing more doctor's visits, needing more access to resources and supports. People who experience things like that have a more difficult time coping in lots of different ways. So it may impact their ability to do their job well. It may impact their ability to study and concentrate in school and stuff. So I think that there's economic impacts, and there's a lot of socio-cultural impacts that happen in communities when we have this culture of unaddressed violence that's being perpetuated.
You mentioned that in Hazleton that there's Indigenous services. So I guess, could you describe maybe how that would differ from the services that are offered in Smithers and Houston as well?
So we have a new, a whole new building and everything in Hazleton. So we've even got new offices, which is really great. And it's all been designed with the intention of being as culturally representative of those communities as possible, and was implemented in the first place to eliminate women and children having to leave their home communities and travel outside a community to access services or to access housing supports. Mm-hmm. But so now, in addition to having housing available there, we have programming that we can run out of the new offices. And one of those is the new sexual assault services program, which is running there, which is the same service that's provided in Smithers in Houston. However, it's more Indigenous focused. It has a, more of an Indigenous lens to it. And the person who will be running that program is more trained and skilled in working with the Indigenous communities and victims who are experiencing all those special, unique factors that go into having experienced a sexual violence incident or something like that in those communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add to that, is it's Indigenous-led sexual assault services. So their goal will be to go to communities to find out what would be appropriate in communities. Yeah. What do communities want to see happen? Because often the traditional colonial system of going through the RCMP or whatnot has not been the direction that they wanted to go. So it'll be really working with communities as to what they want to see happen around sexual assault.
Yeah. Is that what that survey is now too, is finding like what works specifically in communities?
That survey that we have open, which is open to anybody who's experienced any kind of sexual violence in Northern BC, is to just gauge more general information. So okay. It's all anonymous. You don't have to share any of your information, but it's an anonymous mailbox where you can share your experience. Mm-hmm. And you can share your experience with things like, I went to the hospital and this was my experience with doctors and nurses, mm-hmm. or I did go to the RCMP and this was my experience, or I didn't feel comfortable going to the RCMP and this is why, or this was how it was handled in my community, or even just I told a friend and this is how I experienced that. It's a way for us to have an idea as a collective in rural communities in the North, whether Indigenous or not, what women and girls and any victims of sexual violence are experiencing after an incident. So you don't have to go into detail about what happened in the incident. Right. You don't have to tell us that, but it's more looking at what were your experiences after. Did you report? Why did you choose? How did it go for you? Did you not report? Why didn't you? Why didn't you feel safe doing that? What changes could be made? What would have helped and made it better for you?
Can someone call the sexual assault service line for someone else? And, or what is the protocol if you know someone who is, or whom you expect is experiencing sexual violence?
Yes, you can call the sexual services crisis line, whether it's for yourself or whether you're concerned about somebody else. It's not a 24-hour service at this point, but the phone is manned all the time. You can text it or you can call and we will get back to you within 24 hours, but we can't come out in the middle of the night all the time. Right. But we do try to keep in almost constant contact with people who call. So by all means, if you have concerns or worries about somebody, or you're trying your best to support a friend through something and you want some advice and you want to chat about it, for sure you can text or call that line. It's also available for anybody, of course, who's experienced something, who's maybe having a hard time and needs to reach out or wants to ask some questions or needs some more information or needs to be pointed in the direction of something. So the number for our sexual assault services phone that operates in Smithers in Houston is 250-876-8686.
I think it is important that often friends and family are the closest person for the person who's experienced something. Yeah. And it's really helpful for them to get information, as much information as they possibly can, to give to their person, mm-hmm. and to be able to navigate that in a way that takes care of themselves but also helps the other person make decisions. And they can always reach out to whatever service we have here, really, to find out, how do I support a friend? Because yeah. that's often the first and foremost contact that person might have.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll add to that.
That's the people that you trust, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like Carol said, because the first or second person that somebody tells about something may be playing like a close supporting role, we often provide resources and supports to parents or guardians mm-hmm. or friends, or even parents of friends of somebody who's experienced something. Yeah. Again, just to empower them to be the most sort of trauma-informed, safe, good support person we can. Mm-hmm. When we look at people, when they're considering whether or not to report something, it can really be a make or break situation based on the first person someone tells. So if I'm experiencing something or I've experienced something and I reach out to a friend and I tell them what happened and they blow me off, they don't take it seriously, or they act like they don't really believe me and they don't think it happened, that hasn't been a very comforting experience for me, and I'm much less likely to reach out to somebody else or to access services or to make a report. On the flip side, if I tell someone and they make me feel safe and comfortable and that they believe me, that has been a much more comforting experience for me. I'm more likely to move forward with reporting or accessing counseling or getting help and telling other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. So as much as the phone line and the services here are for victims and survivors, they're just as much about empowering families and couples and communities so that we can all support each other in getting through this in a way that's really healthy and safe.
Yeah, and an added dynamic to all of that is we're in a small community. I think that creates unique challenges for people, and I think it's very impactful how we respond to domestic violence and or sexual violence. It's very impactful for people. We have lack of resources to begin with, mm-hmm. but if we have lack of knowledge and support and empathy for people, it's even harder.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you tell me what's happening the week of April 14th to the 20th?
So during that week in April, it's Prevention of Violence Against Women and Girls Week. And so NSDP wants to recognize that with a little awareness raising kind of activity event. So on April 17th, outside Bugwood Bean, we're going to have a little booth and there'll be information and goodies and treats and people there that can answer questions and chat and stuff like that.
Just my last question that I had, what are the ways to connect with domestic peace?
So if you've experienced sexual violence or any other kind of violence in your life, or you're wanting to access our counseling services and supports, there's multiple ways that you can reach out. We have a really great website, which is domesticpeace.ca, and there's all kinds of information about our different programs, the importance of those programs and those issues, and ways to contact us. Our main office line is 250-847-9000. The sexual assault services specific line is 250-876-8686. And you can reach out to us via email as well. I'll give you the more general one because there's so many emails, but info@domesticpeace.ca. So Sexual Assault Services has their own Facebook page. NSDP has its own Facebook page. I don't think we have a social media presence really anywhere else at this point.
Yep. Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me in such depth about this too. I think that it's something that's very important to get the word out about, so I really do appreciate it. Was there anything I didn't ask though that you think is important to add to this conversation?
In terms of Prevention of Violence Against Women Week, I would like to highlight that we have a lot of really great programs here for women, for children, for families, and for men. I would encourage anybody to reach out and explore what we have. We've got everything from housing to pregnancy and prenatal and postnatal care and counseling services for little ones and for adult men. Please reach out or check out our website.
Okay, great. Thank you both so much for taking the time and also for the work that you do for the communities.
Thanks so much. Thanks for coming by.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.